line here to try to. All right, you will be turning your Bible back over to Malachi. Back over to Malachi, and we're going to start in verse 8 tonight. I'll read just two or three verses there and get right in. When we're talking about the religious system today, we're kind of taking a step away from our local assembly. We're looking at other churches, and then we'll branch out and look at individuals and look at us as a nation. So we're taking steps away from the judgment that begins at us and working our way out. So what we're talking about this morning is the religious system that's in place today, and it's any Baptist churches. It's just not the liberal churches. It's also Baptist churches. We see this attitude being prevalent in the church. So we want to take a look at that and look at other churches tonight and see what we're doing wrong. And if you would please stand in honor of God's Word, Malachi 1:8. Says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy God. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Said the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Said the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for those who come to church tonight, Father. You've been a special blessing. I pray, God, you bind it into demonic forces, Father. Help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the spirit. I pray you help everybody be attentive just for the next 20 to 25 minutes. I pray if there's anyone here lost tonight, Father, this might be the night they realize where they're headed. They realize that without the blood of Jesus Christ in their life, without you as their Savior, there's only one place they can go, and that's a place called heaven. And Lord, hell is real, and help that make that real to them tonight. Help them realize their need for a Savior. Help them know that you're just a call away. They'll just reach out to you and ask you to be saved. Ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight I want to start out with giving God the leftovers. We give God the leftovers. And that's what you see in many churches today. I mean, Malachi 1:8 is talking about the offering there of the lamb. It says, if you will offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? See, they offered God what they wouldn't even offer their own leaders.
Yes.
Isn't that the way we are in churches? And we think that, hey, we just come to church, it doesn't matter. You know, nobody's going to care, nobody's going to see. But what if we knew the president was going to be here, or we knew that the governor was going to be here, right? Or somebody perceived as in position was going to be here. Oh boy, this place would be packed out. Everybody make sure they were here. Everybody want everything to go well, right? Hey, we got to get everything just right. Singing's got to be right. Preaching's got to be right. We got to be orderly. We got to be structured, right?
Yeah, right.
We take that attitude all the time with the Lord's way.
Amen.
Right. We need to do that. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, some people use, and Brother Brooks, he's talked to me about this many times about Christ Chapel, and I'm not dogging on you. I appreciate everybody that gives to the Christ Chapel and gives to the church, but every now and then we'll have some people that unloads their junk on us. And they bring in a broke fan or a broke microwave or a broke phone. And let me just give you a revelation, folks. God is not going to heal that stuff before he makes it to Christ Chapel. He's not going to do it. So if it doesn't work at your house, it's not going to work once it goes through the church and off to Christ Chapel, okay? But that's the attitude most people have, is let's give the Lord our junk, the stuff we won't even use, we'll give that to the church. But that's not the way it should be, amen? That's not it. What if we treated our family like we did the church?
Right.
What if we treat our employer like we do the church? I mean, many people would not have family that loved them very well. Many people would be out of employment, right?
Right.
We find in Deuteronomy 15:19, it says, all the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock shalt thou sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. And if there be any blemish therein, if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord. I mean, the Old Testament is very clear that they were not allowed to give the Lord the leftover lamb. They had to give their best. They had to give their first, right?
True.
They had to give the first. Many of us tithe, don't we, to this extent. I'll get all my bills paid, I'll get all my fun out of the way, put back my money to go out to eat for the month, everything I need to do, and if there's any left over, I'll give back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen, folks, that's not the way we should tithe. I mean, if we pay, what we should do is say 10%, bam, and let the rest fall from place. Amen.
Right.
That's the way the Lord wants us to do it.
Yes.
Now listen, God will not overlook our sin because of who you are. And that's going over in the church. Many people think because of who they are and what they do that God's going to let them do whatever they want to. And that's not the truth. Look at Malachi 1:9. And now I pray you, beseech God that He will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means, will He regard your persons. Listen, folks. Many people think their works far outweigh their iniquity. They think of it as like a balance. Well, if I do all this for the Lord, that's over here grateful a little bit. If I do all this for the Lord, I'm doing a few drugs over here. If I do all this for the Lord, I'm going to the internet and look at some pornography, and He'll be okay with it. That's not the way it works, folks.
Amen.
That's not how it balances out.
That's right.
Leviticus 19:15 says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor. 2 Samuel 14:14 says, neither does God respect any person. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, a mighty and a terrible God which regardeth not persons, nor take his rewards. Listen, you're not going to be able to bribe the Lord with your works.
No.
You're not going to be able to. Listen, the reason we work for God is because we love Him.
Right.
Not because we're sitting there trying to outdo our sins. Because we never do it that way. We work for the Lord because we love Him and because of what He did for us. Job 34:19. How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich than the poor, for they all are the work of His hands. You see what they're saying is they're saying, look at what they did for the church. And we touched on this just briefly this morning. But look what they did for the church. Well, so-and-so gives thousands of dollars a year. So can't we just let these sins slide in the church? Right? So-and-so did this. So-and-so's family goes here. Hey, if you upset them, we might lose 10 people. Listen, folks, we can't have that attitude in the church that we don't look sin.
Amen.
The person is. Amen. We can't do that. Again, Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. Colossians 3:25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Listen, here's the point. If you do wrong, it's wrong.
That's right.
If a pastor does wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter who I am or what I do, it's wrong, right? If you do wrong, it's wrong. Wrong is wrong, and right is right.
Amen.
Now notice, we also touched briefly on this morning, but they worship in vain. Many of these churches worship in vain. Look at Malachi 1:10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I mean, listen, what the Lord's saying is there's no reason they can come in the doors and worship. And you come in the doors, he said, you might as well not even come in. And there's many churches that are wasting their time. They're coming in, they're singing all these rock songs and having a hooky-doo time in the Lord, and God's not in it. They're wasting their time, amen. The old timers would say, your prayers aren't getting past the ceiling, amen.
That's right.
And many churches, they're not. Isaiah 56:11 says, yea, there are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one from his own gain, from his own quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Listen, many churches have become the local hangout place.
Yeah.
The welcome center, amen? Yeah. That's what we become. I had a member tell me they've got a family member that belongs to a church. And he said, oh yeah, we have functions all the time. We get together. It's great, you know. He said, but now the functions, you have to bring your own beer.
Yeah.
Brother, what kind of church is that?
Yeah.
A bring your own beer church. Listen, folks, I'm saying God's nowhere near. You can call it a church. You can call it a worship service. You can say you're doing something for the Lord, but God's nowhere near it. Amen.
Amen.
He's not near it. Micah 3:11 says, the head thereof judge for reward, and the priest thereof teach for hire, and the prophet thereof divine for money. I mean, when a church gets to the point it's not functioning as a business to bring in money for the church, it's in serious trouble.
Right.
Listen, folks, I understand we have to have a form of business-like structure. I mean, we've got to look at the account, make sure money's there.
Sure.
But we don't need to become a business.
Amen.
Right.
Because, see, businesses run on strictly the bottom line.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about budgeting. I understand we've got a budget. Don't think I'm preaching against the church being good stewards of their money. But sometimes we need to step out on faith.
That's right.
And faith is something that business doesn't have, that the local church does.
Yes.
And many times we step out on faith. We stepped out on faith with the parking lot. We didn't have all the money. It wound up being about $47,000, $48,000. And guess what? We built it back up. We stepped out on faith. We told the Lord, look, we're going to go ahead and take this money from other accounts, and we're going to trust you to build it back through people.
Amen.
And Brother Barber was telling me last week, we've done a great job in doing that. But it took a step of faith. Yes. Saying, we're going to do this parking lot for the Lord's glory.
Yes.
That's what it takes. Jeremiah 6:20 says, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice sweet unto me. See, what they were doing is they said, hey, let's get rid of all this blood and stuff. Let's go with the sweet cane. That'd be awful to be happy with that. Oh, that sweet cane is awesome, man. I mean, that stuff's expensive. It comes from a foreign land. God will accept that. They try to get rid of the blood, see?
Yeah.
And that's what's going on in the church today. The church is trying to get rid of the blood.
You're right.
There's a better way to worship. Let's get blood out of the books. Let's get the blood out of the Bible. Let's get the blood out of the song books. Amen. Let's just calm this thing down a little bit. God will still receive it. No, He won't.
That's
it's
right.
Got to be through the blood.
Amen.
Amos 5:22 says, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. Everybody is pumped in music today, and I know I got on this pulpit this morning, but here's the verse that deals with it. Listen, folks, you can bring in all the drums, all the rock guitars you want to, everything, but I will tell you, God's not interested in our music.
That's right.
Now, that might hit people wrong, but it's the truth. What music does is music prepares our hearts to receive the Word of God.
Amen.
The music is for us. Now, we can sing to God and give Him praise. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible teaches singing praises and giving praises to God, okay?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that if you're going to turn your service into a contemporary rock service, and you got maybe 5 minutes of somebody getting up there saying a little bit about the Word of God, you've got the wrong problems.
Yeah.
Something is wrong. Amen.
Yes.
Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure from him. Draw back from what? Draw back from faith.
Yeah.
Draw back from faith. And many churches have drawn back from faith. They don't need to do anything by faith anymore. If they can't see it, can't say, this is definitely how it's going to get done, they don't do it.
That's right.
And listen, folks, we can never be that way in Valley. We've got to take by faith that what we're doing, what we're spending, everything we're moving towards, that God is going to help us and promote it and propagate it forward. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to do that. Now, they also take this attitude. There's too much trouble serving God.
Yeah.
Not enough time in the schedule. Look at Malachi 1:13. He said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was told. What a weariness it is. Oh, I'm too tired. It's wearing me out. I mean, well, we got too much outreach. I mean, every time I turn around, I've got to go do something for the church. Listen, you ain't got to go. I mean, we love you, honey. It's great, but we have a lot of outreach at this church, but nobody's put a stamp on you and said you got to be there for an event. Right?
Amen.
You pick and choose which glory that you want to serve at. That's why we have so much, is because some suit others, and some suit this crowd and this crowd. Not everybody likes the Halloween outreach. That's fine. But there are those that love it. Look forward to it every year. Amen?
Right.
Not everybody likes the Valentine's banquet, but some people do. You see what I'm saying? You got to pick and choose. You got to pick and choose. But those that don't have enough time. I can't volunteer. My weekend's my time. Again, you're giving the Lord your leftovers. And I'll ask this. Why is it always this way? Where David just kills me. Why is it in the Baptist churches, and we do a good job, Sister Becky does a great job of this, just carrying others with their Christmas play or BTS, but you go to many churches and it's like a second or third rate event.
Yeah.
And it looks like they took every cut, every shortcut possible to presenting the church to the community. The Lord doesn't get pleased with that, folks.
Right.
Listen, hey, when we have BBS, when we have Christmas play, I always tell Carrie, I tell Sister Becky, I say, go all out. I said, just tell me how much you need. We'll go to the deacons and trustees. Because I don't want those kids coming in here going, boy, that was a lousy BBS. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, giving them little marshmallows to chew on. I mean, there's churches like that. They think, we'd love to have a BBS. We're doing the Lord's work. And they give just a half effort. Just half listen, folks. It shouldn't be like that. If we're going to do it at Valley View, we need to do it right. And we need to go big.
Amen.
Go get it. Thanks for that one flat. Appreciate it. But it says, ye have snuffed at it. Snuff means to resist. They stuck their nose up at it.
Right.
You know what that means? It's trivial. Oh, I'm not getting down on that level. Oh, I don't want to do that.
Right.
My time is more important than dealing with that little church. You know, people look at church like that.
Yeah.
I laugh sometimes because even other pastors, you know, I've had people introduce me and say, oh, this is Jeff Brown. He pastors a little church down in Tennessee. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's what attitude people have when they reserve churches. God's using our church, and He's using it in a big way.
Amen.
1 Samuel 2:29 says, wherefore keep ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Here's the question. What are you honoring above the Lord?
Yeah.
What are you honoring above the Lord? What is it that's so much more important than the things of God? We need to re-ask all of that question. James 4:13 says, go to now and say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All your rejoicing is evil. I mean, many of us boast about the things in life we partake in.
Yeah.
You can tell where people's heart is by how they boast.
Amen.
I mean, you don't hear them ever talking about Jesus. You don't hear them talking about the church. You don't hear them talking about what the preacher said on Sunday.
Right.
You don't hear them talking about anything. You know they go to church, but it seems like they're just stuck on one subject, and it's all about them.
Yeah.
Our boastings, amen. Listen, we need to turn our boastings into boastings about Him.
Amen.
About Jesus Christ. Now, many people can do more for the Lord than they're letting on. Malachi 1:14. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male and ballot, and sacrificed unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Says there's a deceiver. Says he hath a good sheep in the flock, but he poor mouths. He says, oh, I'm just broke. I can't give it. Oh, I just can't. Oh, my back hurts. My leg hurts. This hurts, that hurts, I can't give my time. My pocketbook, no, I ain't got anything. When they did, they poor man. You see how that works? I mean, I've got this to do and I've got that to do. I can't do this, I can't do that. Listen, folks, nothing kills me more as a pastor of people that have left this church and they left this church poor man.
Yeah.
And it kills me. I mean, instead of just saying, I don't want to go to church here anymore, there's always some grand illusion excuse. And then most of the ones I check on that leave, they're either not in church at all, or they're maybe hit or miss at the church they decide to go to. Listen, folks, that's something that I believe we should continue to do about you, even if people leave, is we need to hold each other accountable.
Amen.
Listen, people get mad when you hold them accountable, but listen, God would have us hold each other accountable. If somebody needs us a couple of weeks, we need to be calling. Not just the pastor, but you too. Where are you at?
Amen.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Right.
We miss you. We love you. No, some people don't like that. That's why they go to the big mega church. So they can walk in, the pastor doesn't have a clue who they are.
Yeah.
They get the generic package in the mail. Thanks for visiting our church. He never sees them, doesn't have a clue. When you run into the pastor and say, hey, my friend so-and-so has been going there a year. Hadn't met him.
That's right.
I mean, listen, folks. You know what that is? That's somebody that doesn't want to have to be accountable. They can hide in the big church.
Yeah.
That's why people hate little churches many times.
Yeah.
It's because you can't miss here many Sundays without Brother Jeff takes your dog.
Yeah.
And it's not the money. It's not about a mad actor that I want to run. Everybody laughed at me. Somebody got a text from me. Yeah. But it's all I love you. I want to make sure you're okay. Amen.
Yes.
Listen, Mark 14:3 says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat and meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and a spikenard very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And you know that. You know the indignation that was shown there. I won't read the whole story. But you know how that they said, hey, this could have been used in a different way. In the world. It's being wasted. But you know, that's the way many people look at the work of God.
Yeah.
They think this could have been used in the world for this.
Yeah.
But yet they wasted it on that church and on the Lord.
Yeah.
We don't need that attitude.
Amen.
Now listen, lastly, is there's a curse that issues from God when we don't give Him glory.
That's right.
Many churches don't give Him glory. They take all the glory. They take all the credit for what God's doing. And I want to tell you that church will not last long if they take the glory and credit for what God's doing. Look at Malachi 2:2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Listen, there are many churches where the Lord has stopped working. I can name you church after church after church that used to run 200, 250, 300, 350, 400 in this area, and they're down to about 10 to 20 people. Why is that? Because they allowed their own glory to take effect. They got all prideful when they started growing and getting big, and guess what happened? God took His blessing away.
That's right.
We don't want that to happen at Bethlehem. Jeremiah 13:16 says, give glory to the Lord your God, because before He caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, He turneth into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. What happens when man takes credit? Darkness spreads over the land and light is removed. And that's why you see churches stumbling, you see pastors stumbling, leadership stumbling, and you see churches going down the hills because they have failed to give God the glory.
Amen.
They failed to do it. Psalm 96:7 says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. That verse, I said there's two main ways that God, but there's actually three in that verse, those verses there that tell you how to give glory to God. The first is, we give Him glory through giving. Through giving. And I know I've harped a lot on that today, but it's true. And I'm not talking about your time, I'm talking about your effort, not just your money. Giving to the Lord.
Amen.
And coming to His church. Coming to church, it says going to the courts.
Yeah.
And it says strength as well. How do you get strength in the Lord? By reading your Bible, studying your Bible, praying.
Amen.
Those things are essential to giving glory to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Essential to giving glory to God. Now, one of the main curses God will issue is that of corrupt children. And I'll end on this tonight. Brother David, you can get a song ready. Look at Malachi 2:3. He talks about that curse. He says, behold, I will corrupt your seed. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, on and on it goes. But that's the prevalent attitude we see today in America. That's what we see. Job 1:17 says, the seed is rotten under their flies. Now, I know it's talking about the physical seed there and their gardens and their crops. But listen, I want to tell you something. Our kids, the seed that we have today, our children, they're getting rotten under our flies. They're not working. They're dormant. They're doing nothing. Listen, folks, you want to see how bad our generation is, or how bad the generation coming up is, of kids, just drive through Fort Overboard. Drive through some of those apartments and look at the kids that look like they're 24, 25, 26 years old, with beards and everything else, and in their pajamas. In their pajamas, and the shirt on looks like they just walked up out of bed, their hair's all over their head, they're walking down the road, and they got a cell phone. That we pay for, by the way. They got a cell phone. And they're listening to their music, right? And they're doing this and they're going down the road, right? You see them? You see them? Now, listen, folks, what are those kids doing? I tell you what they're doing, they're not working.
That's right.
You're right. Yeah, our tax money keeps them up, and that's not biblical, folks. But that's the generation we got. It's the generation coming up, they call them the millennials, that think they are owed everything.
Yeah.
That they don't have to work. Just get through high school, now I'll lay around and play video games all day, and you'll pay for me to eat, you'll pay for me to do this, do that. And listen, you run into them everywhere. We used to help a lady at this church. She's not here anymore. She actually passed away, but we used to help her. And every time we'd go to see her, there her grandson would be over there.
Yeah.
Playing the video games. They ain't over there missing them. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, folks, that is what we're dealing with today. Listen, that is not of God. It's a slothful attitude.
Amen.
And it's a curse.
Amen.
And why is it a curse? It's a curse on our nation from the Lord.
Right.
Because of what we've done. The judgment of God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing. Maybe you're not. You say, Brother Jeff, I don't know the Lord. It's my personal Savior. If that's you, you come on down. We'll take the Word of God, and you don't have to worry about where you're going when you die. You'll know when you leave tonight. Don't reject Jesus Christ tonight. Accept Him as your Savior. He's pleading for you. He's begging you. He's saying, I've done everything in my power to save you, but you have to ask for Him to save you before you will. He's not going to force His blood on you. He's not going to force His righteousness on you. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Jeff, I'm a Christian, but I have not been giving glory to the Lord. I've been taking credit myself for a lot of things in my life, and I need to give the glory back to Him. Whatever you're